Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today, our goal is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we do that? Let's discover that here this morning for just a few moments. Dear friends, sometimes with certain people, I'm talking about myself, it's hard to admit that the gas tank is empty. When Alicia and I were early on dating about 10 years ago, and this will tell you how technology has really changed dramatically in 10 years. But 10 years ago, we would be driving along, and she would kind of bend over to my side of the car to look at my dashboard to see where the gauge was for the gas. It was about a quarter tank full, and she would say, just gently, you know, we should probably be thinking about getting some gasoline soon. And I would respond to that pretty strongly and emphatically. We got tons of time, no problem. We can go on a little bit further. Let's relax a little bit. We go a little bit further, and then once again, bending over to look at the dashboard to see where the gauge was on the gas. It was on the empty sign now. And with voice raised, a little more assertiveness, she would say, yeah, next place we're going to stop and get gas, she'd say. And I would back down a little bit and say, we got plenty of time, just relax. And I've got this all calculated. I know how that pointer works. Go a little bit further, and at this point, the pointer's at below, beyond E. Do any of you go below E on your tank? I used to do that all the time. And at this point, Alicia would practically take the steering wheel and turn into the gas station, the next one that was coming. And it would be at that point that I finally hit my crisis level and, oh my goodness, we better get gas. Today, you don't do that with your gas tank. Basically, because your cars basically tell you how much exact mileage, how many miles you have until you run out of gas. And also there are apps now. GasBuddy.com. There are apps too on your phone that can tell you the cheapest gas and the next location that you can go to. I think it takes all the fun and the adventure away. Man. But dear friends, this morning we're here to check our spiritual tanks. Not gas tanks, our spiritual tanks. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing that I want to share with you is that it is absolutely A-okay 100% to admit that we are empty. Now, that may sound strange because the community and culture has kind of a different view of people that attend church. They think that people that attend church are ones that are spiritually perfect and have all the answers figured out for spirituality and that they're filled with fire on the Holy Spirit. But you know what? That couldn't be any more incorrect. The church is full of people that are empty, that are filled each week with God's gift of His forgiveness and the gift of His Holy Spirit. In conversations with people in the community, I oftentimes hear people say this, you know, my spiritual tank is just fine. I really don't need church. I'm not really on empty. Everything's fine. But you know what reality, as a pastor who's gone through this over and over and over again, you know what reality is? They're on empty. And the next crisis is kind of like what happens with me with my gas tank. It'll send them over the edge and the sirens will go off. A relative dies. There's a cancer diagnosis. There is a life-altering event. And all of a sudden, the tank is empty. That's when the phone call comes to the pastor or a friend that they know that attends a church. We're no different than those outside, actually. Why are we so shy? Why are we so reticent in admitting that we're spiritually empty? Maybe it's because we're sometimes stubborn. Is anyone stubborn here at church? Oh, hey, you get extra points, Ryan. Ryan raised his hand so quickly. We're stubborn. Pastors are stubborn too. We're no different. There's a funny story about how stubborn pastors are and just admitting, you know, that they can get help. There was a town that was flooded greatly. The rains came down and the town was flooded. And everyone in the town headed up to their roofs to be safe above the waters that were creeping up very slowly. And one of those members of that small town was a pastor. He went to a roof. And a rescue boat came along the way, and the people inside the boat cried out to the pastor, "Pastor, get into the boat. We'll take you to a safe place." And the pastor responded this way, "God is my Savior. No one will help me except God. God will rescue me." And the boat went on a little bit further. The next day, another rescue boat came, and the people inside found the pastor on his boat and said, "Pastor, you need to get down from the boat. This is a scary situation." The pastor responded very stubbornly, "God is my Savior. Only God will rescue me." A couple days passed by. A third boat comes to the pastor. He's the only one left in town. And they try to convince him to get onto the boat. And the pastor replies once again, "God will save me. God will be the one who rescues me." And of course, a couple days pass by and the pastor doesn't make it. And he goes up to the pearly gates in heaven and he approaches the angel and says, "What happened? I prayed to God. Why wasn't I rescued?" And the angel said, not only did we send one boat, we sent two boats, we sent three boats to rescue you. You were stubborn and wouldn't take the help that was put out right before you. You know, isn't that a lot like how we are in life? We're stubborn. Martin Luther, when he was describing the Holy Spirit, I've framed this to get to Luther here. When Martin Luther talked about the Holy Spirit, he did so in very unique ways. Luther would say that the healthiest way to live your life would be to admit that you're empty spiritually. This is earth-shattering. When Luther described the Holy Spirit, unlike the Father and the Son Jesus, he didn't start by talking about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Luther started by making a statement about human beings, how limited they are. Maybe you remember this when you grew up. In catechism class. How did it go? "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord." That is a statement of emptiness and a statement that we are not filled. Then Luther goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit. "But the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, keeps me in the one true faith," he would say. Christianity is very unique in this world compared to other religions. Other religions say you got to take a step out and strengthen yourself and fight it out and be tough. Never show that you're weak. Then God will bless you or the gods or whoever it is. Christianity does not say that. Christianity says show that you're empty. Then God will fill you with His Spirit. And God does fill you with His Spirit. You may be the best analogy to the way that God works in the book of Acts that we're reading here today. And we read Acts right after the Easter time. That's a very popular time to read the book of Acts. But the way in which God works in the book of Acts is kind of like a waiter at a restaurant. Hang with me for a second. It's my kind of theory on how God works in the book of Acts. If you've ever had a waiter that's not good, it really ruins the experience. They don't fill your glass up. You order a hamburger. They bring out a salad. At the end of the meal, you're not satisfied at all. But a good waiter is active and is actively watching and is attentive and fills your water glass. A good waiter might even come out and bring something special that you didn't even order. And at the end of the meal, you feel satisfied. And it's made the meal all the more better. That's the book of Acts. God's name is hardly mentioned at all in the book of Acts, but when he is actively pouring out his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit's name is mentioned in the book of Acts, it's always in the passive voice. That's a very important detail, friends. Remember this. 100% of the time in the passive voice. What that means is, it's not the person who is seeking to find the Holy Spirit, God is actively at work, pouring out His Spirit into His people. There's not just one Pentecost in Acts. There are five or six Pentecosts. See, God is like a waiter pouring out and filling His people with good things, especially the Holy Spirit. The challenge for us living today in our world is this: not to fight and act like we have all the answers and that we're tough and we can fight through things. It's this: we admit in times we're empty. And then God will always fill what is lacking. He will always do it. Dear friends, we're doing that at Peace. I just want to highlight a couple ways we're doing that actually right now. Pat on the back to many of you that do this. We have a Peace Healing Circle that meets here at Peace. Joyce Long leads it. And in that time, sometimes people admit they're empty. And in prayer, the Holy Spirit comes and fills up. It is a Pentecost experience. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a dementia support group based on God's Word. It's a Christian support group. When we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to come and admit that we're empty, we are always filled with God's Holy Spirit. When we worship and we confess our sins, we're emptying ourselves out. God fills and goes to work. When we're out in the fellowship hall and two people come together, and it's not a pastor or maybe even a leader in the church, but two people come together and say, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm worried about the empty feelings you're feeling." God will pour out His Spirit into that moment. It is a Pentecost-type experience. What's oftentimes missed or mistaken with Pentecost is that it was a one-time moment 2,000 years ago in which we have described here in Acts chapter 2 in which the Spirit was poured out. Now that's true, it was a major event, absolutely, and it was fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus that the Spirit would come. But let us not forget that there were many people that were not there that day that later on received the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, he wasn't there. God poured His Spirit on Paul. You, my friends, none of you are there. God has poured His Spirit into your hearts and lives through the waters of holy baptism, as you receive the body and blood of Jesus, as you mutually console one another and uplift one another when there are concerns. God pours out His Spirit. So here's the thing. Don't do what I did. When you're feeling spiritually empty, stop. Admit it. God will fill you up with His Spirit. That's His promise. That's the way He works. Amen. And now we continue this morning with our statement of who we believe God to be, and we do so with the words of the Apostles' Creed.